for the.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
You're now listening to Music Impulse with Smiles.
And we back for another episode of the Music Impulse. On this very special episode, I got the homie, you know, fellow BG alum. I got, you know, the first fam, Dr. Don Karen in the building. How you doing?
Hey. I'm so happy to be here. Finally, I am here.
Oh, yeah. Not to give more details, but, you know, we was talking offline, you know, about people, you know, stealing stuff, you know, how you feeling?
Yeah, we were definitely talking offline about, you know, people stealing work and then passing it off as yours and then getting upset when you ask to be rightfully fully credited. It doesn't make any sense. I just don't understand. I mean, I know that Karens exist. My name is Karen, but I know that Karens exist, but I cannot believe that I'm facing a Karen situation on social media. So it's crazy.
Who's the real Karen?
So I'm happy to be here. Maybe it'll calm my nerves and allow this to be a cathartic release for me. So yeah.
Well, I hope so. But yeah, I appreciate you for doing this and taking the time to do this. But yeah, we'll start from the beginning. You know, let everybody know who you are and how we got started with, you know, the fashion psychology and everything. So, you know, me and you go back to the BGSU days. But, you know, let the folks who may not know who you are know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so we go way back to our alma mater. So it's nice to fast forward to see where we are now. So yes, hi everyone. My name is Dr. Dawn Karen. I am the world's first fashion psychologist. Often imitated, never duplicated. Okay, so I pioneered the field of fashion psychology. I do own the intellectual property. I've been cited in countless publications. I've been requested to speak at several conferences through several organizations, from prime ministers, you know, from schools, what have you. So I essentially define fashion psychology field as the study and treatment of how color, image, style, shape, and beauty affects human behavior while addressing cultural norms and cultural sensitivities. So you'll see many people claim to be a fashion psychologist, but I started it. I am the mother, oftentimes as a Black creator. I am often overlooked. I don't receive credit for the majority of the work that I do. And in instances, I do receive credit. So this has been a long, long, long journey, packed with just a lot of twists and turns. But I'm happy to be here.
Oh yeah, definitely. And even speaking about, you know, all the different things that you've done, with fashion psychology, I guess, you know, go back to what made you want to, you know, fuse these two fields together and, you know, start something new. What was like the catalyst for you to make you want to do that?
Yeah, so oftentimes we can find you know, purpose in our pain. And so while attending, after I graduated from PGSU, I went to graduate school. I went to Columbia University Teachers College to study to be a psychologist. And while attending, I was working as a model. I was working in the fashion industry at night. And then I was working as student studying Freud and what have you during the day. And so while attending university, unfortunately, I had experienced a sexual assault. And instead of doing your usual talk therapy, I found healing through my clothing. And I said, well, I can't be the only one, because I knew of, which is sad, this is so sad to say, and this was the beginning of the Me Too movement and what have you. So I knew of other women who actually experienced sexual assault and who were in the industry and who were not necessarily inclined to speak on it, but they actually expressed their pain through clothing. And so I was like, I know I'm not the only one. And let me create a new modality in the psychology field on, you know, healing. And so I actually used a few theories that I coined, a mood enhancement dress, AKA dopamine dressing, to actually heal me and to give voice and to give voice to my pain and allow me to gain some control over, you know, my body after it was violated. And I know it sounds strange, but I want to say, because I found my purpose in my pain, I was able to not only heal from it by creating fashion psychology, but actually profit from my pain because I was able to help others. So shout out to Tarana Burke, the founder of the Me Too movement, because she just inspired me through my own situation, and I was able to create this fashion psychology field and give people voice, you know, people voices, give people voice to heal themselves, so to speak.
That's good. That's dope. That's dope. And to even speak about it, if you even remember, what were either like the type of clothing or like the colors that you were wearing around that time that made you realize that you were, you know, expressing yourself through your clothing?
Yeah. So I went really back to like Breakfast at Tiffany's style, or think like 40s, 50s, 60s, where the women wore hats and where they wore gloves. So I wore the gloves a lot. And I wore skirts, A-line. Is it A-line? I believe A-line skirts. And so I remember showing up to class and people were like looking at me. I even had dreads in my hair, put my hair in like a beehive, and wore like a long gown to class. So I was really like, every time I walked into class, which students were wearing, you know, the hoodies with the flip-flops and the sweatpants. So I was standing up out like a sore thumb. I wore feather earrings because I was also an accessories designer. I wore big feather earrings to class. So I know people were looking like, what is going on with this girl?
Like it's 8 a.m. and she want to come in like being all vibrant and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean,
she don't get out of here with that.
So I know, I remember like even a professor calling me out saying, oh my gosh, I love your earrings. Oh my gosh, I love your hair. You know, I mean, she just couldn't help it. Like it just stuck out, you know, just to acknowledge me. But believe it or not, I was going through pain and I was healing. And I was like, hey, if this could work for me, I'm sure it could work for others. So I actually, at that time when we were studying psychology, they said that if you experience some trauma, you necessarily don't want to counsel in your trauma. Now, I believe several years later that they have since like retracted that. But at that time, they said that. And I'm like, no, I probably would be more of an expert at my trauma because not only have I studied about it, I've felt it. So at that time, I was like, I don't really believe in that approach, and now, like, years later, I've come to find out that they're actually teaching that it is okay to counsel in the trauma that you have experienced, because you're the expert on it in multiple ways. So yeah.
that's cool. So as you started your fashion psychology, what was, like, the first moment for you that you really realized, like, yo, I'm really doing something out here? What was the moment for you where you said, okay, I'm on the right road to, you know, really doing something?
Let's see. When people began writing me, I began to be in the media. Journalists were asking me, so this fashion psychology field, can you tell me about the fashion psychology behind this and behind that? So when I began getting offers to be on television in Australia, and this was before everyone was, you know, hopping on Zoom and doing news from their homes. This was way before that. I had to actually visit a studio, and then they had to broadcast me from New York City to Australia. So once I hit that first interview, I realized that, okay, I think we're onto something. And people began writing me and saying, hey, they were writing me from Asia, like from all over the world, saying, hey, wow. can I learn this from you? So that's when I knew, like, hey, I had something. And then after that, I actually brought it to the Fashion Institute of Technology, where I'm the first Black female psychology professor and the youngest. So I knew it was, like, about that time that I'm like, I realized that this is not just going to help me. This is just going to help the world.
That's cool. You spoke about a little bit about the term you created, mood enhancement, dopamine dressing. Before you kind of explain that, I guess tell the folks and tell me about the type of people that, I guess, may seek counseling from you or seek a session from you, or, like, the type of things that they you kind of see some folks going through that make them want to seek you out and want to talk to you.
Yeah, so initially it was the people who got it were women who were of the Muslim faith, because they understood when I said the words fashion psychology, they understood, because they their whole experience with clothing and how people perceive them and how people perceive them at that time, you know, they were very much being stereotyped as, you know, due to terrorism. So those women actually knew when I said fashion psychology, they knew, okay, they knew about perception, how someone could stereotype you. They knew also how, okay, when they wear something, it could be perceived as this, but they themselves are wearing it for their own perception. So those were the first people to understand it first. And actually went out to the Middle East and lived in Kuwait, between Kuwait and Dubai. And yeah, they were the first people to understand it. Then after that, it was more so like the people in the creative industries, like people who studied music. So I had musicians. This person is huge behind the scenes. Yeah, so I work with Chris Robb. He's big behind the scenes, the musical director for Wanda Sykes' show, The Upshaws. That's on Netflix. So I worked with him, so he understood it. People in the creative industries. Then it was like politicians. And then it just went on to, like, your everyday persons, you know, moms and people. Now it's people who suffer from ADHD. So it's really just taken off slowly, gaining some traction. And I'd rather have consistent success rather than, you know, rapid success. These are the people that sort of gotten it over the years.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Neezy here. I wanted to make sure that y'all go and get your Naturally Nate Instant Moisture Duo. That's right. You know, this Instant Moisture Duo can be used on braids, locks, twists, beards, and all of your natural hair. The moisturizer is all natural ingredients. One of our key ingredients, aloe vera. You know, aloe vera is really great for your scalp. And our oil blend is a mixture of the best oils that you can use to promote hair growth and give your hair a good shine and overall just a natural glow. So you're getting two amazing products. Make sure you go to inaudibleruckus.com/natural. Naturally Nay. And also, you can follow us on Instagram at naturally_Nay, N-A-E-E.
That's awesome. So, you've also written a book, Dress Your Best Life. Speak about, you know, writing that book, and what was the motivation behind that, and I guess the reaction you've been getting from that.
Yeah, so Dress Your Best Life, my baby. If you haven't heard about it, it's not your fault. It came out literally a month after the pandemic. So I didn't get to do your usual book tour or even some of the media runs. So I quickly had to transition into, you know, what we're doing now, which is Zoom interviews. But Dress Your Best Life, my book baby, I have been working on it the entire time since I began creating my theories while attending university after my sexual assault. So this book had been written for a while. Like, I was just slowly writing away. But Dress Your Best Life is in 5 languages. It's in Ukrainian, it's in Russian, it's in Czech, it's in English, it's in Spanish. And I realized that it transcends politics right now, what's happening in our world, where Russia and Ukraine, they're actually at war. It transcends it because I do have readers in Russia. I have readers in Ukraine. So I even, due to my book, I've even been requested to go to China to speak about my book, considering the U.S. and China relations currently. So it seems to transcend politics. So I'm very, very, very diplomatic in my approach to my book, because I have readers all around the world. I can't stand for people to be mistreated and abused. So I have to speak up about that. I have to take a stance for that. But for the most part, my field, my book transcends politics. But it's been doing very well, so to speak. Like I said, I transitioned during the pandemic. I transitioned during the global Black Lives Matter. So there was even a call for they need to hire more Black authors. They need to give more Black authors a chance to have a book deal, you know. So I was in the midst of all that. I had to think, you know, very quickly on my feet. So I'm currently now doing a book tour. Hopefully we don't go into another I don't know. Right now we're in a recession now. So we went from a pandemic to a recession. So I'm literally planning a tour. So if you want me to come to your school or your speak at your conference or your organization, feel free to visit my website. But yeah, Dress Your Best Life is doing pretty well. My students love it. I get fan mail. I even got fan mail from Ukraine, believe it or not. Someone said like, hey, we're in a war, but you know, I read your book and it's giving me hope. And I'm like, I literally cry. So it's doing well.
You've spoken about a bunch of different countries and stuff. So I'm sure you've done some traveling thanks to, you know, fashion psychology and everything. So a twofold question. One, what's been your favorite country to visit so far? And two, as far as the fashion and the culture, which one has been your favorite?
I probably shouldn't say I have a favorite, but I'm gonna say it. My favorite country has been Ukraine, believe it or not. The Prime Minister of Ukraine actually requested the Prime Minister of Ukraine, he was in office when former President Obama was in office. So Prime Minister of Ukraine Arseniy Yatsenyuk and his wife, First Lady Teresa Yatsenyuk, they actually invited me to a security forum, a security conference, y'all. And there was war at the border. There was still war at the border. It was in I want to say beginning stages. So they invited me to a security forum where I spoke about fashion as a soft power. And at that time, they banned the burkini. It's what women wear who want to cover their entire bodies. They banned it in parts of Europe because they deemed it as a security issue or security threat. So I was there and they said, can you please enlighten us? So we're not just looking at it from one side. So I was there to talk about fashion psychology and this whole entire notion as fashion as a soft power. And I literally had a bodyguard. My bodyguard had a bulletproof vest. I was riding around in a van, an SUV with bulletproof SUV. And even when I stepped out the car, a local said, is that Rihanna? Is that Rihanna? So shout out to Rihanna. Hey, Riri, ASAP Rocky. I work with ASAP Rocky too. So that was my favorite country as far as clothing, attire. They did actually gift me, the Ukrainians gifted me with local traditional attire. So I actually have some shoes and a dress. And so I would say that was my favorite. They really took care of me. Oh my gosh, they took care of me and my assistant. Shout out to Rose. So that was my favorite place. But, you know, and like, you know, a couple years from now, I'm going to go to another country and I'm going to say that was my favorite place. So I really, as a mother, she never has favorites, but that was my I was really taken care of when I went to Ukraine.
Okay. Okay. Shout out to the Ukrainians, you know, the whole country of Ukraine.
Yes,
you mentioned you worked with ASAP Rocky. Speak about that. How was that? What was that situation about?
Yeah. So ASAP Rocky, this was right before he was about to really just kind of go extremely public with Rihanna. So I was kind of like, all right. And I remember he had made some comments about, I believe it was Black women wearing red lipstick. I can't exactly remember because it was a past mistake. And, you know, we forgive people and we move on, right? So I was kind of like, is it okay for me to work with him? You know, I know he was locked up abroad somewhere. And so I remember like talking over with my team and everyone's like, yeah, he's super cool. Like he's evolved and everything. And I was like, okay. And so I worked with him on a campaign for Klarna. Shout out to Klarna. Klarna had a campaign that talked about, you know, coming out of the pandemic and what you should wear and this whole notion of mood enhancement dress and, you know, wearing particular colors. So I worked on a campaign alongside him. Super cool. I think that literally like gave me another stamp of credibility that I'm not
he's a fashion killer.
Yeah, fashion killer. That gave me like that literally gave me a boost in my career. So I'm like, wow, you know. So I mean, and Klarna paid me nicely. They paid me nicely, so that helped too.
speaking about ASAP Rocky and Rihanna, both two, you know, icons as far as artists and fashion and everything. Who are some of your other, I guess, I wouldn't say inspiration, but just folks that you like to look at because you know, like, hey, they gonna do some stuff. Either be, you know, dead or alive, just folks in history or like currently that, like, hey, you know, every time you see them step out, you know, they like on point fashion wise that just has you like inspired.
Okay, well, and this is in no particular order. I do not have a hierarchical a whole notion of this. Okay, so this is first up, Queen Rania. Queen Rania is of Jordan, the country Jordan. She wears modest fashion, so she's very covered. But believe it or not, let me tell you, she's covered, but she's stylish. My next person is Meghan Markle, the Duchess Meghan Markle. So I love her. I mean, I cannot say anything bad about her.
Shout out to Rachel on the TV show she was on. I love that. It was just a TV show.
Yes, you know, former actress, now princess.
Right.
Who else? look, right. Real Housewives of Atlanta, Marlo Hampton. I do watch Real Housewives of Atlanta, you know, but she is very, very stylish. So I love a lot of, I can't like, but these are like the three that I like. I can, if I go even further back, Dorothy Dandridge. So I like to just give women of color, particularly women of color, just a shout out, because I think we're oftentimes overlooked when it comes to fashion, you know. So so yeah, so these are just a few, but I'm sure I have like a whole list, like I'm sure. So
okay, to have a little fun with it, you know, again, we spoke on A$AP Rocky, you know, Mr. Fashion Killer. What are some of your favorite fashion songs? Because I did look up some top fashion songs that I wanted to run by you, mm-hmm. to get your thoughts. So, of course, A$AP Rocky, Fashion Killer.
Yes.
We got Kanye West, Christian Dior, Denim Flow.
Yes.
Jay-Z, Tom Ford.
Yes, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, Change Clothes.
Yes.
Another classic one, Run DMC, My Adidas.
Oh, yes. Wait, I forgot about that.
Yeah, My Adidas. Yeah, you don't want to get me started. We got Macklemore with Thrift Shop.
Yes.
Migos, Versace. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Let's see. Gucci from Krayshawn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Chanel from Ray Shrimmer.
Yep.
Gucci Mane with Met Gala.
Yes.
Okay. And then let's see, Suit and Tie, Justin Timberlake.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
We talked about her once before. Azealia Banks, Van Vogue.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Fashion Week from Wale.
Mm-hmm. 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 Oh yes. Wale.
Yes. And then what's the last one we'll go with? Let's go with High Fashion from Roddy Ricch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm currently listening to Azealia Banks. Shout out to Azealia Banks. Everybody wants to you know, talk a lot of, you know what, about Azealia Banks, but she's actually our female Kanye. She's a genius. She came out with this song recently called I Rule the World. Mm-hmm. It's a smash. It's, she's always been in that that space of given highlighting the LGBTQ community, so she really makes music for that community, but she's been doing it for her entire career, but she just came up with this major hit, I Rule the World. So that's my anthem right now, because I really want to affirm, like say it as an affirmation, I rule the world, you rule the world, girl, you know. So Azealia Banks, shout out to her. I love her just as much as everyone loves Ye. I love Ye too. So they both are bipolar. If we're talking mental health, they both are bipolar, but one gets praised and then the other one, you know, gets, you know, just berated. So I have to support Azealia Banks just as much as I support Kanye. So everyone check out I Rule the World. I do not know Azealia Banks, so I am not getting paid to endorse her, but it's always nice to support a fellow Black artist, fellow Black creator.
Well, we're gonna have to make sure we tag her and all them, get this interview to her, let her know, like, yo, you got some fans out here.
Yeah.
So definitely shout out to Azealia Banks. Besides her, I guess right now, who else is in your playlist? What else you bumping on your streaming platforms?
Oh, okay. Steph London. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, but I know all her music right now. So I'm bumping her. Super sad that she broke up with Burna Boy, because I'm bumping the African Giant. Mm-hmm. So that Wizkid, I'm really in love with Afrobeat and even UK music, like UK music, UK hip hop. I'm really into that right now.
That London drill.
Yeah, it's speaking to me, really speaking to me, like. Oh my gosh. Someone else. I can't remember. Oh my gosh. And she just came out with this smasher. If I think of it before we end this interview, I'll definitely tell you. But yeah, it's man, the UK, they really have their own, and it's good, it's just as good as ours. So yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they definitely got some heat over there.
They really, really do, like extremely.
All right. And then I know I've heard you speak on it a little bit before, but let the folks know, I guess, what are your thoughts on the Met Gala? I know you mentioned before about like how you want them to be more open with creators, but I guess speak on that a little bit with the Met Gala.
Yeah, the Met Gala, I just want them to be, you know, more inclusive. I mean, obviously, the tables, you know, run you some racks. But I did a interview for USA Today, you know, just talking about, you know, the old guard or the gatekeepers. A lot of the things in the industry, particularly the fashion industry and even the psychology field. As much as, you know, the there's, you know, gatekeepers within the fashion industry, which I'm actually trying to spearhead to open even in fashion university. So I'm very, you could ask my students at the number one fashion university in the world, FIT, you can ask them, I'm really a crusader for, you know, letting all of us in, you know, it's very, very guarded. And so I can see that it's starting to, it's moving past this tokenism where we have like one black model or one black designer. It's moving past this tokenism and starting to be all inclusive. So shout out to the Met Gala for even, you know, even opening the doors, inviting influencers now, you know, to grace their carpet, their red carpet. So, but yeah, I'm definitely a crusader just for, you know, just open the doors. And even in the psychology field in itself, you know, they clown Dr. Phil, you know, they clown like psychologists who are on the TV side of things. And now, like, it's all the rage. Everybody wants to be a psychologist influencer, you know, in the media. You know, I'm really breaking down the doors with that. I mean, you wouldn't believe I was called a Dr. Phil. Like somebody referred to me as a Dr. Phil. And I remember the day that they called me that and they said, you're a quack doctor like Dr. Phil. I took to my bed, as my mother would say, super, uber, uber depressed. And I remember my father called me and said, Dawn, I need you to Google Dr. Phil. And I'm like, Daddy, why do I need to Google Dr. Phil? He's like, Google him. I Google him. He says, what does his net worth say? I'm like, I don't know. And I'm reading. He says, Dawn, keep reading. And I'm reading. It says 400 million. He says, so tell me. He says, so if these people are calling you Dr. Phil, knock off Dr. Phil, the quack doctor, tell me, why are you depressed? And crazy enough, the next day, Harvard University, someone from Harvard contacted me and said, we want to bring you out to speak at our school. You know, so just how the universe works and, you know, so the push and pulls. But I'm just saying, you know, just to get back to the point, there are a lot of gatekeepers in the fashion industry and the psychology field. So I'm literally breaking down those doors. So, you know, people in my generation, you know, after my generation, they don't have to go through the racism, the sexism, the ageism that I've gone through, the doorkeeping, if you will, that I've gone through. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Look at you. You're doing things. You know when you first, you know, it's only right that you do great things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
the first and the finest.
Yeah, the first and the finest. You know what I'm saying? And the coldest. also, you spoke about being a teacher and professor. How's that been for you? Being a professor and teaching students.
Oh, I love, if it were not for my students, I don't think I would have made it, honestly. The old guards, or the dinosaurs, let's say, I call them dinosaurs. And this is just a talk about just how outdated or just how they're just trying to hold on to these just antiquated ways. Like, so if it were not for my students, I would have given up a long time ago. I really would have. They are literally my backbone. They have my back, my front, my side. They really ride for me from here all the way to Australia. Because I do work at the Fashion Institute of Technology. Even when I experienced racism, my students staged a social media protest. They did they were going to stage an in-person protest, but the pandemic hit. So they really have my back. I also have the Fashion Psychology Institute. So if students are not able to learn from me at FIT, they learn from me through FPI, Fashion and Psychology Institute. So I have students as far as Australia. So my students are literally, they put the battery in my back. They keep me going when I get depressed, when I get down. They literally support me and just tell me, we need you, we need you. You know, the future needs you. So if it weren't for them, if I didn't have access to those future minds, because I do everything for them because they're the future, you know, they're the ones that are going to be in those seats in the future. So if it weren't for them, I don't know where I don't think I would be. Like I said, I think you wouldn't have fashion psychology. So I love them.
That's dope. That's dope. I love it. I love to hear that. I love to hear that. You know, the kids of the future, you know, those young minds. I love that they putting the battery in your pack. The battery in your back, you know, and keeping you inspired and all that. I love that. Yeah. So before we wrap up, I wanted to also kind of go back a little bit earlier to, you know, the dopamine dressing and the mood enhancement. So I wanted to throw a few colors at you, and I just want to, you know, get your thoughts on these colors, you know, let the folks know a little bit, or your thoughts about those colors. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only going to do a few, you know what I'm saying? So
okay.
Let's go with pink, the first one.
Pink. Femininity, just off the top of my head, femininity. But now pink is a tricky color because it started off for boys and then now then it was for girls and then now it's just like an all-inclusive color. But I would just say femininity, softness, just two words.
Let's go red.
Red, power, sensuality, sexuality, good luck.
Let's see, orange.
Orange, why am I drawing a blank right now? Vitality. I'll just say that, vitality, creativity, but I'll leave it there.
Okay, and we'll go with black for the last one.
Black, mysteriousness, intimidation. Mysteriousness, am I making up words or is this a word? But intimidation, let's say that.
That's dope. You're on tour, so we'll wrap up by, you know, let everybody know about the tour, where they can find the book and everything, and then, you know, get your social media.
Yeah, the tour. So I'm on tour. If you go on my social media page, you'll see my post that I pinned that talks about my tour. If you want me, I'm doing ceremonies, conferences, classes. So if you want me to come out and talk about my book, Dress Your Best Life, just send me an email and we'll work out the details and I'm there. Where to find me on social media? I'm everywhere. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. Did I say Instagram? I'm everywhere. Twitter, I'm everywhere. So all you got to do, everyone, just type in my name into Google. You're going to see all of, and just follow me. But I'm at Dr.DawnKaren on Instagram. I'm mostly active on Instagram, but I am on all platforms.
Okay. So thank you for taking the time, you know, to speak with me. You know, I know you got a busy schedule. You're out just doing dope things. So again, you know, appreciate you for taking the time of doing this, you know. And then this has been another episode of the Music Impulse. I'm here with Dr. Dawn Karen, and we out.
Bye, y'all.
Yep. Now my shit be booming all across the Atlas. Across the Atlas. Across the Atlas. Across the Atlas.